go. Rock and roll in the garden with Rosie on the house.
I can headbang. Yes, I can.
I don't like to because you're a headache.
I think you'd be surprised.
That's
the difference in the music. If you really wanted to headbang,
this is a 60-year-old headbang.
Yeah,
baby.
This is.
I like it.
This is tapping your fingers on the windowsill as you're driving, or on the steering wheel.
Very
this
good.
This is a finger tap. A
little different.
Hey, y'all. Talking landscape lighting here at Rosie on House in the Garden with Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping. We've talked our way through quite a few components. You're welcome to give us a ring, 1-888-767-4348. If we had a moon every night like we had last night, you would never have a nightlight. You'd never have a lighting
job. You'd be out of business.
That's right. Now, that was a Friday the 13th full moon accompanied by solar flares that were supposed to end the world yesterday.
I'm still here.
I think some people would have believed that. Have you believed that?
I thought I heard that. Anyway, landscape lighting.
Well, since we're still here, I'll talk about lighting.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. You know, Rosie, you brought up a good point. Sometimes you're maybe not quite sure what effect you want to create with a fixture in your landscape. And one thing that's very easy to do, because we're dealing with such low draw, safe fixtures, low voltage, you can even use some wire and just put it above ground. Not even go to the extent of burying it yet. Put the fixture in a temporary situation. Let it be there for a day or two, a night or two.
That's exactly what I did. And I had wire running all over the driveway
effect.
And everything.
Sure. I mean, you can driving, even drive over it a little bit wouldn't hurt it.
Yeah.
I make some temporary wire connections. Obviously, be safe. But that's something you can, as you said, you can sort of temporarily put it in, enjoy the effect, move the fixture a little bit, see what you're going to get. And that's a way of fine-tuning it.
Well, but you're talking about being safe. We're not talking about line voltage, 110 volts,
correct,
or anything like that. We're talking about 12 volts, which
yes,
is, very, very safe. So you're talking about laying a wire on top of the ground. Nobody's going to get electrocuted or hurt or shocked or anything like that by that voltage.
I mean, there are still electrical codes to be considered.
But, and you don't lick a live wire.
Don't chew on the wiring, right? Yeah. It is safe. It is a very safe system. So you can do that temporary wiring, see how you like those effects, move the fixtures around. And you were talking, Rosie, about the different kinds of fixtures that we work with.
And just the bulbs. I mean, when I was moving these fixtures all around the yard, I played with the voltage and
right,
the different bulbs.
The wattages and stuff of the bulbs. Yeah.
And That's a big deal.
And the bulbs are hardly bigger than your little finger. but it's incredible how much the voltage change actually impacts the amount of light you get. I was really surprised.
And now, that is true with the older incandescent and halogen, but with the new LED lamps, they're very voltage independent.
Nice.
A very wide range of voltage. That's the beauty of those. We can do things with the wiring and the design we couldn't do 10 or 15 years ago with the conventional incandescent and halogen. You couldn't break those rules. So it comes on. The LEDs, the lamps are varied. And that's really what I wanted to talk about. It's not so much the fixture selection as the lamp that you want to choose to do the effect that you want. Decide what kind of effect you might want, grafting a wall, grazing on some plant material, washing an area, uplighting something, downlighting out of a tree, moonlighting, some area lighting. Pick the effect that's appropriate, and then you're going to pick the lamp that does the work. The lamp does all the work. The fixture just holds the lamp. And I don't like to push the idea of selecting a fixture first as much as pick that lamp. Pick the workhorse and the effect you want to achieve. Then we're going to find a fixture that holds it and fits the application.
This kind of sounds like a dorky question, but what about turning them on and off? On my home, I bought those dawn to dusk adapters. You unscrew the light bulb, you screw this on, then you put it back in the fixture on the outside, then you leave the light all the time, and this is supposed to turn it on and off as the sun comes up and down. Never worked, especially under a patio.
We're in the 21st century now.
It was facing the east side of my house.
Yep.
I had a patio cover. that light would turn on at 9 o'clock as soon as the sun broke the plane and was done shining on it. The thing was on all the time.
Yeah, there's some adjustability there. With the LED lamps now and the low draw of the systems, it's not so much harmful to let those things run longer. So a lot of folks are going to just the photocell operation, but I still like using a timer and a photocell. And most of the power centers we work with allow that option. So you can set it to come on. You're setting the timer to come on in the afternoon, but the photocell says, hey, it's not dark yet. We're not going to come on. So it, you know, whether it's winter or summer, it's going to come on when it gets dark. But then you might want to shut it off at, let's say, maybe 11 or 1 o'clock or, you know, just to save the energy. There's no reason running those lights in the yard if you're not going to enjoy the effect. And then you can even have it come on again, let's say winter, in the morning. So maybe you're up and having a cup of coffee and get ready for work and you're an early riser and you're there before the sun's up. Have lights come back on again and run for a little bit till the sun comes up.
And now, most of these transformers that take the voltage from line voltage 120 down to the 12 volt have the brain within the transformer itself.
Right. They have the capability of having a timer or photocell. And we have digital timers. We have simple little analog timers. A lot of different kinds of control where you can't get a photocell into the mix because the power center is in a shielded location. There are also timers that know sunset and sunrise and can emulate the idea of a photocell. And even though they can't see the sky, they still can come on right at that, you know, within a minute or so of when it's going to get dark.
Now, I know we were talking about, we don't want to photo bomb, glare bomb, bright lights, but could you run working lights if you've got a garden? And, you know, especially in the wintertime, I get home and it's been dark for an hour and a half. I can't get anything done without parking the truck and leaving the headlights on.
We call that task lighting. And the two different things that we've done quite a bit for clients, well, obviously a barbecue light. There's an example of a task light. You want to have it set to the side so you're not barbecuing the light. But, you know, and obviously you don't want to be barbecuing the bugs it attracts. That is the one downside. So you want to keep that off to the side. You're not... bugs on the ribeye.
I like mine medium well. Thank
you. Yes, exactly. And then we'll put a switched light in at the pool equipment. When they come out, you know, they get home after work and they may want to go over and clean the filter or do something, we'll have a switched fixture right there on the low voltage lighting system to allow them to see the pool equipment and work with it.
Now, how much can a low voltage system take? I mean, speakers, what else can we put in line?
Well, the lighting system is going to depend upon how many lamps. I mean, there's some electrical design that is involved, but it's really been reduced since we're going to the low draw LEDs. I have a large property in North Scottsdale, a very complex lighting system, front and rear. We did the whole thing, and we're only using about 150 watts for the entire yard. So very, very efficient. You can run an awful lot of fixtures on a line.
You know, that brings up a good question. A lot of people are used to, you know, wattage. I got a 60-watt bulb. I got a 40-watt bulb. I get this much light out of a 60, this much out of a 40. What's the correlation between an LED fixture and, say, a 60-watt bulb? I mean, is there a what is the rating of a 60-watt bulb if people want to visualize how much light
you can have the at? Illumination of something like, let's say, the old 60-watt type A lamp, and that would have been replicated by a 10 or 20-watt low voltage lamp that now is replicated by a 6-watt LED lamp
that's only drawn 12 volts.
Well, it's running on 12 volts,
right,
but only
exactly.
Drawing 6 watts,
six
and you're
watts.
Getting that level of illumination. Of course, there's another thing to keep in mind, beam spread. Is it a narrow or wide? And, of course, that makes all the difference in the illumination on the subject.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Starting off with Gary this morning in Avondale. Welcome to the broadcast. What can we help you with today, sir?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. Happy Father's Day, y'all.
And to you, Gary, if you are one. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and then happy Father's Day.
Three times over. Yeah, I'm having some problems here. We, about 68 weeks ago, we planted a couple bogeys on the corner of our property and then interspersed those with some lantanas. And the lantanas seem to be, you know, they're working hard, but they seem to be doing all right. But the bogeys have died on us. They're completely dead. We've tried everything from pulling some of the soil out and replacing it with some of the potting soil. We tried different mixtures. We tried different plant foods. And I wake up each morning with my cup of coffee, and I sit out in my beautiful patio looking out at the lake, and I see in front of me two dead bogeys. And I think, either I don't have a green thumb or there's something going on. My wife said, call y'all. You might be able to help us out.
Well, can I first start by asking, I thought Nancy had a huge typo. Well, I thought I was reading it wrong. A bogey plant. What can you describe that?
Bougainvillea.
Oh, okay. And That's a hard plant to kill.
What I was about to say.
Between them and lantanas, good luck trying to...
Well, the lantana is going to be a little higher water use. It's going to want to add a little more frequent waterings. The bougainvillea, if you overwater it, it typically just grows. And, of course, you can drown anything if the soil is really clay-like. I'd like to know... when it died, did it die right after it was planted? Because one thing with bougainvillea, when you plant that plant, they're very sensitive to having the root ball disturbed as you take it out of the container. In fact, we'll sometimes even dig the hole for the plant, not too deep, and we'll actually use a knife and cut the container away from it and set it very gently into the hole. If you break up the root ball, air gets to the roots, the bougainvilleas are toast at that point. So there's a sensitive nature to the planting. Other than that, it's kind of hard to, once they get established, kind of hard to kill. They're really tough plants.
And
that's what we thought.
So,
go ahead, Gary.
And how often are you watering it?
Maybe I did disturb the bulbs. I left it in the pot that it came in and then just kind of opened it up when I set it down. And the distance told me to set it down. And I thought, well, I'm not going to tear anything out here because I don't want to damage anything. But, you know, I don't have a green thumb. Maybe I did break some things. I don't know. But we've worked really hard at trying everything we possibly can. Like you said, they're supposed to be simple, especially for somebody like me that just likes to sit and watch it, you know, look nice. And we've both just been shaking our head going, oh, my God, we don't know what to do. So I guess the advice would be what you're saying is if I've done damage to those bulbs, maybe I need to replant more?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it means a new plant, means starting over. And if it's a really sunny location, the darker reds and the barber karst, and those do really well. Some of the really lighter colors like the purples are not as hardy.
I've got, I'm pretty good at bougainvillea. We got some good bougainvillea. I'll go take care of his bougainvillea. He can go take care of my neighbor's silk oak tree.
Oh, there you go.
Huh?
You want that thing gone? For Avondale, Elgin on McDowell, about between 83rd and 91st. Great nursery, north side of the road. Just walk in. Justin's always up front. He'll help you out. Bougainvillea comes in a lot of colors,
it does.
That's a great thing. Coming up in our future, we're going to have a bougainvillea. We've got our horse stalls up against the road. There's about 20 feet in between the stable. But in between each one, I'm going to put different colors of bougainvillea to make a little bit of a dust filter from the dirt road to the horse track.
Sure, it makes a good screen. It's a tough plant, too. Once it gets established, it almost likes the abuse. If you don't overwater it, it blooms more.
It cracks me up in the wintertime when sometimes we get these hard freezes and the bougainvillea just looks so dead, you know. And 6 months later, they're back in their glory again. They have pretty fast recovery.
They are. And that's how – that was my trimming trick. And yeah, it's a lot easier to trim them when they're completely dead and all the leaves are off after a nice frost. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you're fighting insect problems, there's another great product. In addition, we were talking about the organic Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. But if you've got ants and you've got problems in your lawn, there's another great product by Bonide called 8-Insect Control. There's over 100 different insects on this label that it will effectively control and eliminate. And it can be used indoors if you're a fan of indoor plants and potting. This can you can easily just apply this in home. It'll also get rid of, if you're a dog owner, Stan, fleas, ticks. 8 will take care of that, especially if you let your dogs inside. We don't, no pets allowed inside, just the kids.
And
they bring in enough.
they bring in enough bugs.
But 8 Insect Control can be found all over the state, anywhere Bonide is sold. You can go to bonide.com or stop into Summerwind's Nursery in Mesa, Baker Nursery in Central Phoenix, and Viola's Flower Garden on Route 66 in Flagstaff.